If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
This story has been going on for about a week now. We've been watching this particular development, and a lot has happened actually since the commemoration of the 110th commemoration of King, a commemoration of King Dinizulu Gaxashayo, where we all saw, unfortunately, ANC's Duma grab a mic from the AmaZulu Prime Minister, and overshadowing, obviously, what the day was meant to be. And a lot has since happened. What we wanted to understand is, you know, how we contextualize the events of that particular day and the relevance, number one, of that particular day, and other statements that have been made both by Duma as well as other royal structures, and what this means for the province of KZN. So on the line with us is cultural expert Professor Musa Xulu, who is very graciously gracing us today. A very good evening, and thank you so much for your time, Prof, and thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Pamela. Good morning to your listeners as well.
Just maybe for context, let's talk about the significance of that event. Unfortunately, that ended up not being such a good event, but it was a successful event nonetheless. The commemoration, 110th commemoration of King Dinizulu Gaxashayo. Let's talk about how significant that was, because it was, in a way, a commemoration of a moment that brought together, initially, really important parties. You know, the ANC was there, represented by the president as well, as, you know, obviously wearing two hats, president of the ANC, president of the government. And it seemed in the beginning like this was going to be a very significant moment.
Well, it was a very important event. You know, King Dinizulu, born in 1868, you know, became a king at the age of 16 in 1884. So you can imagine a youngster like that becoming a king. And he had to face the colonial government of Natal Colony, as well as members of the Zulu royal family from the Mandlakazi section of the Zulu royal family, who were attacking him physically, and there were three battles that were fought in the course of events from 1884 to 1887. And that other faction decided to club and come together with the colonial forces, the Mandlakazi section. So they attacked King Dinizulu's faction was known as Osotho. And so they attacked him on several occasions, and he was able to repel them and eventually defeated them in 1887, after which the colonial government of Natal decided to arrest him. He went to serve time, jail time, in a prison called, the island called St. Helena, for 10 years. Then when he came back, he became great friends with ANC leaders like John Dube, Pikley Zarasene. He was arrested again in 1906 after the Bambatha Rebellion, where the impoverished colonial government wanted Zulus to pay tax based on how many huts did you have in your homestead. The rebellion was crushed, and then the king was arrested and sentenced to 4 years in prison. In 1910, when the Union of South Africa was formed, the king was released by the then Prime Minister, Louis Botha. And then in 1912, when the ANC was formed, the ANC voted him as an honorary life president of the ANC. He died in 1913 in Mpumalanga at a farm called Eightgag, just outside of Middleburg.
Now,
this is
for me is very significant, because in the context of who this man was and his history in the ANC, his history couched in his importance and significance in the Zulu kingdom, and then we find ourselves at the center of that, what seems to be very tense relationships between government led by the ANC and the royal home.
Well, you know, let me tell you something which maybe South Africans don't know. The Zulu king and the Zulu royal household is looked after by the ANC government. There's no other kingdom that is looked after to the extent that the ANC government is looking after the Zulu royal family. You know, the provincial government of KwaZulu-Natal has a budget of 80 million, which is set aside for the king and the Zulu royal family. You won't find it anywhere in other seven kingdoms in South Africa. And the king's personal you know, security is placed at the same level as that of the president. The cars he drives exactly the same as the cars of the president of the country in South Africa. The Zulu royal family children go to the best private schools, including this king that is here now. He went to some of the best private schools in the country, and all of them go to the, all of it is paid for by the ANC government. It didn't happen before. It's happening now. But what is happening also is that, like you saw there at Xeza, the event had to be at Xeza because before the king, King Dinuzulu, went to battle, he was he actually launched his last final battle against the royal family faction from Xeza in 1887. And then after that, he was arrested. But the most important thing is that Thulasizwe Buthelezi, who is now prime minister to the king, I must correct also, there had never been a title called prime minister to the Zulu nation.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Because it's a very important point that we need to clarify.
Yes. What happened was that during the week leading to the Saturday, Mayor Thulasizwe Buthelezi had been posting in social media, including in a group called Indonesia Siswe, which is full of all political formations and bishops and academics. He was posting to say he's going to embarrass the ANC at Xeza on Saturday in front of the president. And Duma is also in the same group. And so Duma knew when he grabbed the microphone where Thulasizwe was going. Names of people were going to be called out, names of people that Thulasizwe has identified as enemies of the king, were going to be called out in front of Amabuto. And then, of course, you know what would have happened based on that. Yeah.
Let's park that, because I think it's very significant and why that almost happened. Because it's important to profile who Mayor Thulasizwe Buthelezi is. I will come to, and as you profile him, obviously you'll then speak about and we'll focus in and hone in on the name Prime Minister. But let's profile him. This is an IFP leader.
Yes.
And the significance of him going to the lengths that he went and also publicly preempting that he is going to be embarrassing members of the ANC, of government.
Yeah.
I suppose in an election year, is significant that he is an IFP leader.
Well, it's very significant. You know, one of the things, because people like yourselves in the media always come to someone like myself to explain things. When he was appointed by the king on the 27th of January, at Isandlwana, one of my biggest misgivings, and I communicated this to the media and to fellow South Africans, is his political profile in an election year, which is very high. And I pointed out that I can foresee that he's going to use this position to try and boost the political fortunes of the IFP. And then he will, in the process, get the king to be compromised and be seen as an extension of the IFP. And what happened on Saturday was exactly that. And it was not the first time. Earlier, I think it was late, or during February, there was an event of the Zulu royal family. And when he introduced the king, he lambasted Action SA on the microphone, Action SA in KZN, as being disrespectful. I think what they've done now, Action SA, actually, they have opened a case against him. So he was always going to use this platform to lambast political opponents of the IFP, saying that he is talking on behalf of His Majesty the King. And you can imagine a king being aligned to a political party.
So
it's going to be a disaster. We can see even 2 days ago, on Tuesday, there was a press briefing by Amabuoto and Izinduna in Durban, and half of those people, they work in Zululand District Municipality, where Tulasiza is a mayor. And they were in Durban, sleeping in hotels, just to attack people claiming to be protecting the king.
When you make this point, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. When he was appointed on the 27th of January, you did make public statements about the fact that you're concerned about him. But this is a man who had been almost under the wing of Prince Buthelezi, shadowing him for a long time. He says 23 years, obviously. We'll have to verify that. You'll have to tell us if, you know, that was accurate. But also, he had been a mayor for 7 years, but had, you know, a checkered past as a mayor, had been accused of, you know, of mismanaging money, some sex scandals, and so on. He says these are all political conspiracies. What I want to get to with you is, why then would someone like this be an individual that the king would appoint as, I quote, it's in inverted commas, the prime minister? Obviously, that would be the eminent speaker, someone who's going to be looking as well as into the affairs of, alongside the king, the affairs of the Ingonyama Trust and many other duties, an advisor and so on. Why would he appoint someone like that in that role and not consider some of the concerns that you've had?
Well, everybody has a concern about Mayor Tulasiza Buthelezi, and I've known him for over 20 years. I know his thinkings, etc. Maybe I shouldn't go there. But, you know, the Zulu people generally were expecting that the son of the late Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, Prince Josefa Buthelezi, was the one that was going to be appointed. And every political party was at ease with that because he's a very sophisticated, modern man. But, you know, people say, and even Prince Josefa Buthelezi says that sleeping on the day before Tulasiza was appointed, he had been informed that the king was going to appoint him. And there was a request that he should wear the traditional attire of his father. And so he went to that event and sat next to the king, expecting to be appointed. And then there was a turn of events. There's a lot of talks about what happened on that night somewhere in Dundee at some hotel, but I don't really work with conspiracies. But anyway, so once that appointment happened, all these things we are talking about now of controversies about money, even today, there has been circulating those statements from some of the women at the district municipality who made statements to the police about harassment, sexual harassment, and all those things. I don't know. I'm not sure whether that happened or not. And but I think the king actually blundered in this appointment.
Let's talk about that title, Prime Minister of the AmaZulu King. Of course, even Duma mentioned that, look, you know, let's not be fooled. There is no such thing. Constitutionally, this country does not recognize the figure called the Prime Minister of the AmaZulu Nation. everybody allowed Prince Buthelezi to use that title. Why is this being brought up now?
Well, the evidence on research is that the title, a king will appoint someone as his traditional prime minister, but not as a traditional prime minister of the Zulu nation.
Got you.
So King Shaka had his own traditional prime minister. That's why when a king dies, the new king will appoint his own person. So King Shaka had Ngomane Kamkomboli of the Mdletshe as traditional prime minister. King Dingane had Ndlela Kasompisi of the Ntuli. King Bande had Masipula Kamamba of the Ntshangase. King Cetshwayo had Nyamana Buthelezi. King Dinuzulu had Ngwandwe Somaphunga Ndwandwe. So it shifts around. When the king dies, the new king will appoint his own prime minister. So it's not like you'll get that, whether the king dies or not, this prime minister, it's a friendship advisory role.
Mm. It's not a role of the nation, so to speak.
Not a role for the nation, no. But this is what happened, and I need to say this. Towards the end of the KwaZulu Homeland Government, Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi started writing and describing himself as a prime minister to the king and the Zulu nation.
Mm.
So it's called, in anthropology, I studied anthropology, it's called anthropology of music, it's called invented tradition.
Mm.
He had to invent that tradition because for political fortunes. There's a belief in some circles that because he would always stand and say, the king has said, I must say this.
Mm.
The king has said, I must say this.
Mm.
And there's a belief that whatever the king has ordered, nobody can challenge it.
Yeah.
So politically, it worked. And Thulasizwe is trying to reinvent that he will go to these government platforms and attack his political opponents and saying that he's talking on behalf of the king. I don't think that is a king that can say that, especially King Nisuzulu, because his entire future is in the hands of President Ramaphosa, that can say, go there and start attacking, the ANC or all of that. So it's all a personal vendetta against his own enemies using this platform, as I had predicted when he was appointed on the 27th of June.
You know, you mentioned the fact that, yes, you like no other king and no other nation in this country. The Zulu king gets best security. They've got a big chunk of money that they get from the ANC government. And we know this, but this is as a result of negotiations that Prince Buthelezi had. We need to talk about that because for those who are not there, exactly to your point, no one understands, or those who don't understand, who are not there, understand how come it was only specifically for the Zulu nation.
Well, partly, when there was the Zulu homeland from 1970-71 to 1994, Buthelezi had this thing, and on and off relationship with the late kings, Goodwill Zwelithini. And at some stage, then they decided that he should be salaried and that all the palaces should be looked after by government. And when the ANC government took over in 1994, they said there is no need for them to reverse that in KZN because it is there. And the king, the late king Zwelithini, became great friends with President Nelson Mandela. And by the way, when Nelson Mandela visited the late king, he was stoned, almost stoned by Amabude. But it's a story for another day. So when the ANC government took over, they said, no, maybe the best thing is just to continue with this. It harms nobody. But it was a very small budget of the homeland government. the now it goes to millions. And other kings and kingdoms, because there are seven kingdoms in South Africa, are complaining, why is this one getting a special treatment? Even Inkosi Mandela in Parliament has raised this a few times. But of course, you know, once a tradition of paying, of looking after the royal homesteads has been established, it's difficult to not continue with it. Political parties are very angry when it comes to the legislature at in Pietermaritzburg all the time. When this budget is presented by the premier of the province, it becomes quite problematic because there's also not a, what is the king doing? Why are these people getting all this money? What are the duties that they are doing which makes them to deserve to be paid so much? So there's a, it's, there's a controversy, but the ANC government has been consistent in saying, no, it's fine, but it's a tradition that has been established. We cannot do away with it.
Let's take a quick break. Cultural expert Professor Musa Xulu is unpacking some of the things that we may not be clear on after that unfortunate incident that was in the commemoration event of King Dinuzulu Wakagcatshwayo that happened last week, where we unfortunately saw Duma grab a mic of a royal official, and a lot has happened since. We're going to unpack all of that as well. We haven't even begun to unpack the subsequent events after that, but we just needed to get a bit more context and some clarity on some issues that may be confusing. Continue our conversation with Professor Musa Xulu, cultural expert. Prof, thank you so much for staying with us. Let's continue. Unfortunately, subsequent to that event, we hear that some people, and unfortunately there were scuffles, some people were injured, and obviously there was then a meeting called by Amabutho. Where do things stand now? We hear that the ANC and the president have asked for an apology. They've apologized to the king. Where does that leave relations between the ANC and the royal home?
Well, no, thanks a lot for that question. Let me just start by saying what happened there then after Duma had grabbed the microphone was that the king went to the podium to start talking. But Thulasizwe Buthelezi started calling on Amabutho and shouting war cries as the king was about to start talking. Eventually, the king had to sit down. Also, the king's praise singer, Mdletshe, started attacking the premier and the president for the speeches that they had made on microphone, very angry. It's completely unheard of in Zulu cultural history that a traditional praise singer would make a speech attacking people. So it looked like it was well planned. And then after that, of course, when the event had ended, Amabutho started attacking women, mainly women and some people, for wearing ANC T-shirts. And I think 10 were hospitalized, and another 6 were not hospitalized, but they had to go to hospital because of injuries. So, and Amabutho are always classified as an extension of the IFP.
Let me just ask, is there a reason why it would be specifically targeting women? That action would have been targeting women?
Well, basically, they would target women because women can't defend themselves.
Okay.
And so they would do that, but also, you know, it's also not in Zulu culture to attack women. But let me go back a little bit. In 1995, Amabutho attacked the wife of the late king, Zwelithini, and they butchered her with sharp weapons, and she is partly paralyzed now. they also attacked the firstborn daughter of the late king, and she is even today partly paralyzed as a result of what Mabuto did in that, way back in 1995. So when it comes to them attacking, they always do those things from time to time just to intimidate people. It has become part of our experiences in this kingdom to see them doing those things. And the late Zulu king, King Zwelithini, was extremely unhappy about the behavior of Amabutho, who are always associated with the island. Now, what has happened subsequently, on Tuesday, there was a press conference of Izinduna and Amabutho. And then Induna, Sipho Mhlongo, even attacked me for my analysis.
You were singled out. They are saying that you speak ill of the king?
Yeah, yes. No, yes. But, you know, what they don't know is that on Saturday morning, because I had been assisting with the organizing the research for the project, the president of the country had asked me to join his
team. Delegation, yes.
Delegation to go and greet the king. So we went to the king at his palace at Lundi, and the king said, Prof, it's been a long time. We must talk. You know, between me and the king, the relationship is very normal. But I think the source of that attack on me on Tuesday comes from Zululand District Municipality, because I objected, I had reservations about the appointment of Mr. Tedezi as the traditional prime minister to the king, based on his political profile. So I understand it, and I'm not worried about it. Because when you analyze and you are teaching the nation, you cannot hide certain types of information. I was told when I was a student at Natal University back then that you have to be as objective as possible and not try to hide any piece of information, because the outcome of your research will be compromised.
So where does all this leave the relationship between the IFP, the Royal Home, and the ANC? It's a concern, because we're obviously moving into the elections, and we've already seen what tensions are like in the province, particularly also now with the new formation MK Party and their disagreements with the ANC. How do you read the mood in KZN and all of this that's happening at the moment?
Well, the ANC is meeting with the king tomorrow, as is tradition. They say, while Duma did the right thing, and I can tell you, my sister, if Duma had not grabbed that microphone, Mayor Tulasi Tulis had a list of names of people he wanted to call out from the microphone in front of Amabutho, and possibly in front of Izinkabi, and so on. It would have been worse. It could have been worse than what we experienced. Because once your name is called there as enemy of the king or enemy of the Zulu kingdom, and by implication, enemy of the IFP, then you know that if they didn't attack you there and then, they would attack you at some stage. And possibly your life is then gone. So Duma knew, because Tulasizwe Tulis had been throughout the week saying that he is going to embarrass the ANC in front of the president, and even writing it down on social media in the WhatsApp group. So it's not like Duma did not know what was going to happen next. So he sacrificed himself to save lives of people, maybe including myself as well, because I was told that my name was also there. And so, but it's not important anymore. The ANC so is going there tomorrow to apologize to the king that what Duma did was right, but it was in front of His Majesty the King, and the ANC and Duma has also apologized to the President of the country, who seems to be understanding. In fact, it was important that it happened there so that the President, even as he goes away, he knows the problems that KZN is facing. Because I think going towards the elections, you can expect more violence to take place here in this province. It happens all the time when there are elections, especially provincial and national
elections. So, with, as I was saying, the MK coming into the fray, is that going to be even more volatile?
Well, it could. The MK has expressed itself many times in media that it's ready for violence. And but you must also understand that the MK party vote, voter support in KZN is an ethnic vote. They want Jacob Zuma to Zulu and so on. So in terms of that kind of vote, they're actually competing with IFP. The IFP.
Yes.
That's why many people think that the MK has eaten from the ANC. No, they haven't eaten from the ANC. These are people that stopped voting in 2019 after Jacob Zuma was recalled from government in 2018. They were angry because, as I said, it's an ethnic vote, and the real competition is between themselves and the IFP in terms of the Zulu vote. ANC members seem to be a little bit South African in their orientation.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to explain all of this that we've been seeing play out. Cultural expert Professor Musa Tlulu.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.